Tomorrow, Saturday, October 18th, an important exhibition will open at the Whitney Museum in New York. It's titled Highwire, Calder's Circus at 100, and it celebrates the centennial of one of Alexander Calder's most iconic works and one of the most beloved works in the Whitney's collection. Calder's Circus is a work he began constructing in 1926. It is his miniature multi-act spectacle, and he prepared that while he was living in Paris using commonplace materials, wire, fabric, cork, wood, string, and found objects, and he created a cast of acrobats, animals, and other circus performers, including clowns, a sword swallower, and a ringmaster. The figures were brought to life through performances that Calder staged for audiences of artists and friends, among them Marcel Duchamp, Joan Miró, Pete Mondrian, and Isamu Noguchi. These dynamic performances were set to music, complete with lighting and narration by Calder, and could last up to 2 hours, representing a radical new form of performance art. Calder stored the circus in a set of 5 suitcases, and he would continue to present the work on both sides of the Atlantic, working out of those suitcases. High Wire, Calder's Circus at 100, opening tomorrow at the Whitney Museum in New York and running through March 2026. We'll learn that theater artist Richard Grun was able to view Calder's Circus when he was a young fellow, and the experience has never left him. Those who actually attended Calder's shows in Paris delighted in the improvisational humor and inventiveness, and they likened that playfulness to the spirit of the traditional Italian commedia dell'arte. We are invited to Urbano's Circus this weekend at the Tustin Theater in Narrowsburg, New York. Richard Grun has been inspired by Alexander Calder and his circus, and he wants to ensure that viewers are both amazed and entertained. Richard Grun is an actor, artist, puppeteer, and teaching artist who has performed and toured original shows at many festivals in the States, Ireland, and the UK, including the West Cork Literary Festival and Edinburgh Fringe. In 2019, he received a creative engagement grant from the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council to perform at the University Settlement in New York City. He received a 2015 Brio Award for experimental film from the Bronx Council on the Arts. And in 2003, he was awarded the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts Fellowship in Theater. He has taught radio theater to visually impaired students at the Lighthouse Guild and seniors for the past 10 years. We had a chance to speak by phone with Rich Grun about Urbano's Circus and about his ties to northeastern Pennsylvania.
I lived in Pennsylvania for about 12 years, mid-90s to early 2000s. And I worked in Scranton, various organizations in the arts, and I worked a lot with the Northeast Theater, which became the Electric Theater Company, and for a number of years with them. And this particular show is actually, its origins are from the Northeast Theater when we're doing Commedia dell'arte with David Zarco, a company that we created called Zuppa del Giorno. So Urbano, for Urbano Circus, came from there. The character first had its life in that show. Very different from what Urbano is now. There's a whole circus. There was no circus back then. So yeah, it started there, and then I did a lot of performing in the area, not only Northeast Theater, but Jennifer Hill, Dan Waber had a place, Paper Kite Press in Wilkes-Barre at Edwardsville, and I performed on their stage a number of times, and all around for an arts organization. So the show has lived in many different places, performed in many places, but I certainly lived in these different places. Now in New York, New York City, too. I have venues that I do, but always great to come back, for sure. Very excited about that.
And Rich, what is it temperamentally, your temperament, that draws you back to this style of theater?
Well, sure. It's one of the origins of what we see today, contemporary comedy, comes from Commedia dell'arte, which is what I did at Northeast Theater with David Zarco when he was there. So those origins have always been something that I've been interested in, for sure. The old form of comedy and using it, and it's an improvised comedy with a set plot points, and you can improvise around. And I've always kind of worked that way. So my introduction really to it was in Pennsylvania, Northeast Theater.
Is Urbano a character that we could recognize? One of those named characters, Pierrot, Il Dottore, or one of those?
Yeah, he's a bit of a combination. He's a bit of Arlecchino, and he's also a bit of Pantalone. So he's in charge as the master, but he's also the servant at the same time, due to his circumstances. And in this show, what's exciting, I'll tell you, is I'm doing it with my son, Sheridan. He's a character in the show. He plays Vincenzo. He's my assistant. And he doesn't speak. He just sulks and walks very slowly. His last name is Pompeii, very much like Pompeii and Vesuvius that erupts very slow-moving lava when it does. He moves as fast as that lava at times. So it gives Urbano, who moves very quickly, something to... It creates drama and comedy, of course, at the same time.
There is at least a sketchy plot that you can improvise around. What is the premise?
Okay, so basically what it is, Vincenzo and Urbano are a bit in a desperate situation, despondent. They're living at a garbage dump that's owned by the Principessa di Plastica. And the Principessa has this arrangement for them. They can stay there for free if they watch her garbage. And there's a lot of her garbage that's dumped, and they have to kind of deal with that. And Urbano's convinced it's a good deal. Vincenzo, of course, feels otherwise. And when they do a circus, the Principessa only takes 60% of the proceeds. So that's pretty much the setup. And the audience comes in, and then they help with the circus so he can do it. So they're, in some ways, they're waiting for the Principessa to come, because Urbano especially wants her to see the circus, because he feels that she's a big patron of the arts, and she's going to help save them from their surroundings, even though she's responsible for their surrounding. So that's basically the premise.
Are there puppets?
Oh, there are. Yes, yes. Different puppets. So there's Mario, who is Lumo Altissimo. He's a tall man, and he comes out and he walks around, and they're all made out of found objects or garbage. And inspired by Alexander Calder's Circus of Wire, which when I was in high school, I saw it. And in college, I started kind of creating this. I was always inspired by how he was able to make these wires move around and do things. And it is the 100th anniversary of his circus, actually, at the Whitney this year in New York City, which is pretty exciting. But, you know, that was some of the inspiration. And the puppets are all different. They're all there's an acrobat. There's like a sword swallower. There's an elephant, of course, that picks up heavy things. But of course, as the show goes on, things happen that Urbano has to deal with.
And music, Rich?
Yes, the music part, Sheridan plays the music. He basically accompanies the puppet, each puppet act. And there's a couple songs we sing in it, too, as well. It's great for families to come and see, all ages, and you might be called on stage.
Ooh, that's either good or bad.
Mostly good. Nothing happens. It's a safe situation for sure, but it's great fun.
And the Tustin Theater is an intimate space?
It is an intimate space. There's about 200 seats, and yeah, it's a lovely theater. It really is. In Narrowsburg, which is a really quaint town right on the river on the Delaware.
Samuel Beckett is back on Broadway with a production of Waiting for Godot. You said that Urbano and Vincenzo are in distressed circumstances. They're in a garbage setting. They have
yes.
a chance to wait for the Principessa.
Yes.
So is
yeah.
there something Godotian about that?
There is, but it doesn't go that particular direction. I would say maybe an homage, if anything, to, you know, sort of an end game, sort of a waiting for Godot. And then, you know, you steal from the best, as they say.
Laughter aplenty, yes?
Yes, for sure. That is always the objective. And then to, you know, kind of experience this crazy kind of circus through this old form of Commedia dell'arte is really great fun.
Is there a website for the Tustin Theater or your website? How do we find more?
There is. There is. If you go to Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, DVAA.org, you can get tickets through the site. And it's playing Saturday, the 18th, the 7 o'clock show, and Sunday, a matinee, 2 o'clock.
Rich Grun, who is returning to our region. He's based in New York these days, but he spent many a day doing theater here in Scranton and in the region where he is now with Tustin Theater. And he is bringing Urbano's Circus to the Tustin Theater in Narrowsburg, New York. And it's this weekend, so it's Saturday and Sunday. And you have a chance to see and experience Richard and his son, Sheridan Grun. And they'll be presenting this inspired piece about the Principessa and Urbano and Vincenzo and the puppets, inspired by Alexander Calder's circus. And as Richard noted and we began, High Wire Calder's Circus at 100 is celebrating its centennial at the Whitney, and it opens tomorrow. And that's the same day as the evening performance. So if you're in New York and you're intrigued, that show, Calder's Circus High Wire, will be running through March 2026. That's at the Whitney Museum in New York. But closer to this time, it's Urbano's Circus at the Tustin Theater in Narrowsburg, New York. And it's Saturday evening and Sunday matinee. And it is the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, and it is known as DVAA, but the website is actually DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org, the whole name, DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org. Again, Urbano's Circus, Saturday evening at 7 at Tustin Theater, 210 Bridge Street in Narrowsburg. And then there will be a 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday, again this Sunday, and that's also at the Tustin Theater. For more information, DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org.